Chapter 16. The following morning, I gathered my friends and family together to brainstorm on the best course of action regarding the Mist Wolves. I couldn't stand to sit idly by while Hoona's monsters were out terrorizing the wilds, so we needed to put an end to her attacks as soon as possible. Brayden, Gawain, and Murr showed up just after dawn, and each of the men wore sleepy expressions on their faces as they stepped into the foyer. "Good to see you all looking so chipper," I joked, and if looks could kill, Gawain would have maimed me on the spot.
"Please tell me there's coffee,"
the haughty fire mage grumbled. "Freya just brewed a fresh pot," I promised him, and I gave him a reassuring pat on the back. My golden-haired friend grimaced and shrugged me off him, but his lips curled up into a smile.
"Take us to it,"
Brayden yawned, and he stretched his muscular arms out to the side.
"Maddie wouldn't let me get any sleep last night, so I could use all of the caffeine I can get."
"How scandalous!"
I waggled my eyebrows suggestively. "What was she keeping you up for, pray tell?" The ox-like summoner's cheeks darkened until they were nearly maroon.
"She wants to make a baby."
Brayden said the entire sentence so quietly and so quickly, I could hardly understand him.
"Would you like to repeat that for me?" I teased him.
"I'll tell you later,"
Brayden grumbled, and while I wanted to press him for more information, we had urgent matters to discuss, so I would have to try again later. "And how are you this morning, Murr?" I addressed the moose shapeshifter. I noticed my friend's dark brown curls looked neater than usual, and he was outfitted in a nice pair of pants and a knit sweater. Had he made a point to dress up for a certain russet-haired princess?
"I'm well," he responded in heavily accented Mistral. "Are we going on a mission to the Shadowlands?"
"Not this time," I responded in his native language. It was far too early to force him to speak the common tongue. "Though this mission does involve the Arkans like last time."
"Have Hoona and Keela been spotted?"
Gawain asked as we stepped into the kitchen. "Not yet, but we're hoping to change that," I revealed.
"Ah, so we're finally going after them,"
the fire mage smirked. "I'll explain it all in a bit." I winked at my friend, and I gestured at the counter. "Go ahead and grab some coffee and then come and meet us in the living room for the briefing." My friends did just that, and after they filled a set of mugs to the brim with the dark, fragrant liquid, they took a seat in the empty leather sofa nearest the fireplace. Nia, Freya, and Vala joined us minutes later, and I noticed Vala and Murr shared a cute smile straight away. Freya seemed to notice too, but if she was irritated, she did an amazing job at hiding it. She just settled into one of the plush armchairs beside me and offered me a dazzling smile of her own.
"Good morning, my mate,"
the warrior princess greeted me.
"Kinnifik, will you be joining us on this mission?"
Gawain addressed my ashen-haired wife, and the multi-elementalist grinned at him.
"Got a problem with that, Maddox?"
she challenged the fire mage, and Gawain let out a single laugh.
"Not at all," he replied. "It's been a while since we fought together in the field. It's nice having you back in the action."
"Oddly enough, it feels good to be back,"
Nia responded with a surprised expression.
"All things considered."
"So, Griff, about this mission,"
Brayden prompted me in a slightly louder voice, and I gave my former roommate a grateful glance. I didn't mind all of the small talk, but we needed to talk about the mission so we could leave the Enclave sooner rather than later. I cleared my throat and then launched into a retelling of the game plan I'd concocted the night before. It was simple and straightforward. We would spend a few hours to pack a travel pack, our best weapons, and weather-friendly clothing, and then begin the trek to scope out the Mistwolf Trail. Rather than bother with an airship, I decided it would be best for us to travel via monster. Using my flying creatures didn't require a lot of mana on my part, and I had plenty of monsters to spare.
"Sounds like a good plan to me," Gawain said once I concluded. "Risky, but not the worst plan I've ever heard."
"Thanks, I think,"
I laughed at the fire mage. Does anyone have any questions? When no one replied, I dismissed the group, and everyone set forth to accomplish their assigned tasks. My women and I enjoyed a quick breakfast, and then I showered and dressed myself in warmer clothing. I made sure to pack an extra empty essence crystal in my bandolier, and a backup in one of my side pouches, in case I really needed it. A few hours later, everyone returned back to the mansion, outfitted in their mission attire and their travel packs. Once we were all gathered out on the front lawn, I reached into my bandolier and retrieved a few essence crystals. Brayden did the same, and soon we were surrounded by my Pyreworm, my Vinghund, and Brayden's King Griffin. Freya and Vala insisted on flying in their hawk forms, and while I wasn't sure about the idea at first, they made convincing enough arguments for me to give in.
"We're used to flying long distances with our clan," Freya reminded me. "Vala and I have gone almost entire weeks in our hawk forms with little issue."
"If you can handle it, go for it," I finally gave in. "Besides, what's the point of being a shapeshifter if you can't use it to your advantage?"
"I'm jealous of your ability to fly,"
Mur mused, and he cracked a shy smile at Vala.
"Unfortunately, I can only become a lowly moose." "I think mooses are very interesting,"
Vala giggled in a girlish tone.
"Don't doubt your abilities." "Yes, but think of how much more improved I would be if I had wings,"
Mur insisted, and Vala erupted into laughter once again. The conversation wasn't funny enough to warrant the type of laughter that escaped the Hawk Princess's lips. But then again, she was clearly flirting with the moose shifter. Freya fixed her gold-flecked brown eyes to me and let out a silent sigh of irritation. I retorted with a raised eyebrow, and Freya laughed to herself.
"Shall we get to move on?"
Nia suggested. I nodded in agreement, and then reached into my bandolier and retrieved a pair of crystals. I equipped myself with a speed slug, but then a thought struck me. When my friends had battled alongside me against Karth in the Shadowscape, I'd used my magic to give them armor from the Bullet Bass. If I could share that particular monster's ability, couldn't I do the same with others? I closed my eyes and concentrated as hard as I could. I mentally pictured my magic spreading all around, and as I did, I physically felt the slimy creature's ability shift to the rest of the flying monsters. I also shared the magic with Freya and Vala, but I opted to not tell the Hawk sisters about it just yet. Brayden's eyes darted over to me, and he flashed me a knowing smile. I winked at my friend and mentally willed him to keep the information to himself. When he winked back, I knew he would keep the secret. I mounted my Pyreworm first, and then held out my hand to Nia. The Elementalist accepted it, and I helped ease her up onto my serpentine monster. My ashen-haired wife looped her arms around my waist once she was settled, and she rested her cheek lovingly against my back.
"Is it wrong to say I'm excited to get some alone time with you?"
she murmured.
"I know we're about to go on a dangerous mission and all."
"It's not wrong at all," I laughed lightly. "And even if it was, I wouldn't tell anybody. I was glad when you offered to come along." Nia squeezed my waist even tighter, and I rested my hand on top of hers.
"Is everyone ready?"
Brayden called out to the group from atop his King Griffin. He and Mur were on the back of his enormous lion eagle monster, while Gawain had taken up residence on my Vinghund. Freya and Vala had shapeshifted into their hawk forms, and before I could give the official command, they pumped their wings and flew up into the air.
"Let's go!"
I called out before our monsters followed the shapeshifters up into the bright blue sky, and adrenaline coursed through my veins as the Pyreworm gained altitude. After about an hour and a half, the village of Nattinger came into sight, and my stomach dropped slightly. It seemed like almost every village I'd grown fond of suffered some kind of attack, either when I was there or shortly after I'd left it. Luckily, Nattinger didn't seem to have sustained the same damage that Adorna had when I'd returned after mine and Nia's honeymoon. The village appeared almost exactly the same, aside from a few trees that had fallen askew. I waved my arm in the air and gestured for my monsters, the King Griffin, and the pair of hawkshifters to follow my pyreworm's lead. Nia tightened her grip around my waist as we descended, and I enjoyed the feeling of her full breasts as they pressed against my back. Once all of this was over, I was going to need a night alone with the beautiful elementalist. We made an admittedly graceful landing, and once all of the monsters and the shapeshifters were on the ground, my team dismounted the creatures and collectively stretched out.
"That Vinghund of yours is quite something," Gawain remarked, and he scratched my canine-like summons behind the ears.
The pale blue monster let out a contented sigh and leaned into the Fire Mage's hand, and I stifled a laugh. Gawain was cocky when it came to his interactions with humans, but he had a soft spot for animals that always surprised me.
"She seems to like you, too," I said.
"So what kind of prince are we looking for?"
Brayden cupped his hands over his eyes to block out the midday sun. The large-framed summoner's gray eyes scanned our surroundings, and I followed his gaze in hopes to find something.
"We were informed the Mistwolves are essentially long-legged, slightly larger versions of normal wolves," I replied. "So my guess would be we're looking for a set of footprints that resemble a wolf's."
"Like these?"
Nia gestured at the ground beside her boot.
Sure enough, a set of four paw-shaped prints were embedded in the ground. They were larger than I'd suspected, and I stifled a shudder as I imagined the paws that had created them.
"Just like that," I remarked, and I lifted my eyes to meet Nia's.
"Good looking out, Nia."
"Thanks,"
Nia grinned at me proudly.
"The trail goes through that set of trees there."
Freya pointed toward a smattering of trees just beyond Nattinger's gates, and when we all gave her incredulous faces, the Hawk Princess raised a dark blonde eyebrow.
"What? I have a hawk's vision. Nia isn't the only one with perfect eyesight."
We all chuckled at that, except for Freya, who didn't seem to understand the joke. The woods surrounding Nattinger were simultaneously familiar and unfamiliar to me. Growing up in the wilds, I was no stranger to wandering through the forest. But as my team and I descended into the expanse of dark emerald trees, dread built in my chest. Freya took up the head of the group, and we followed the blonde princess as she navigated us through the forest. Despite it being the middle of the day, the thick trees blocked out a considerable amount of sunlight and gave the forest a dark, creepy appearance. I wasn't scared easily, but even I had to admit the darkness was unnerving, especially when paired with the random bird calls and animal noises. Gawain and Nia used their elemental magic to form small fireballs in the palms of their hands, and as I watched the fire smolder across their skin, I found myself jealous of their magic. I dressed warmly for the occasion, but my hands still felt chilled. I considered summoning my Baroker so I could borrow the fire magic from his flaming sword, but the monster was about 40 feet tall, so that wasn't a possibility in the middle of a dense forest. Suddenly, Freya came to a stop, so all of us paused as well.
"Freya, what's..."
"Shh!"
Freya shushed me as she held a finger to her lips, and then she inclined her head forward.
"Everyone, listen!"
We heard footfalls in the distance, and I narrowed my eyes to get a better look ahead. The steps grew louder, and I heard the rustle of bushes about 40 feet away from where we stood.
"Brace yourselves," I warned my team in a quiet tone. "I think we found what we've been looking for."
I hadn't expected the pack to find us so quickly, but then again, all of this had been a trap in the first place, so I couldn't be too surprised. I kept my hand close to my bandolier and steadied my stance. Then I gave my group a wide-eyed expression that made them take a similar position, and when I turned back around, I was met by several pairs of silver eyes. Standing before us were the largest wolves I'd ever seen. While they weren't particularly bulky, their limbs were long and sinewy, and they moved with a sleekness that was ghostly and unnatural. The creature's fur had an iridescent cast to it that was nearly identical to Huna's wolf ears and tail. In the sunlight, they reflected every color of the rainbow, and their large, tilted eyes were like molten silver.
Wow!
Nia breathed.
They're beautiful!
Just as the words left the elementalist's lips, the wolves let out low, resonating snarls and revealed their icy, razor-sharp teeth. Nia was right to say they were beautiful, but they had a deadliness about their fluidity that made them terrifying.
Griff,
Gawain whispered behind me as the pack stalked forward.
What do we do now?
Get your magic at the ready, I murmured. My heart thudded in my chest as adrenaline surged through me, and I kept my hand on my bandolier as the monsters skulked forward. A wolf stood at the front of the pack, and his silver eyes glowed like fire as they bore into mine. A chill ran down my spine. I had yet to see them in action, but if their movements were any suggestion, I could see their deadliness I'd been warned of. This fight was going to be intense, and I needed to think quickly if I wanted my team to make it out of this unscathed. Before I could think any further, the lead wolf ran straight at me, and I barely managed to duck out of the way as its enormous jaws snapped near my face.
Griff!
Nia screamed, and then her palms glowed with fire magic as they formed into fists. I rolled on the ground, and as I stumbled back onto my feet, I retrieved an essence crystal and crushed it in my palms. My Maripor appeared as the plumes of smoke dissipated, and all it took was one gesture of my head for the monster to leap into action. I'd captured the creature after battling it in the Shadowscape, and while it was still one of my newer monsters, it was one I'd grown particularly fond of. The creature was somewhere between canine and feline in appearance, with sleek jet-black fur, large ears that were butterfly wing-shaped, and bright magenta eyes. The most important and deadly of its physical traits, though, was its tail. The Maripor's tail was incredibly long, corkscrew-shaped, and lined with pointed barbs that looked like thorns. Those barbs, along with the beast's bite, contained a poison so toxic they'd nearly killed me when I'd been stung. And if it weren't for Xanrath's healing magic, I'd have been a goner. I commanded the Maripor to use its tail and strike at as many mist wolves as it could manage, and my summons let out a low snarl of approval before it began to strike out at Huna's monsters. The translucence of the mist wolves led me to believe the creatures couldn't be struck, but apparently, I was wrong about that fact. The Maripor managed to strike a blow to one of the smaller wolves, and the beast let out a howl as it was jabbed by one of the summon's barbs. While I tackled the monsters at the front of the pack, the rest of my team snapped into action and became a blur of various magics and movement. Braden summoned a monster we'd gifted him the night before his wedding to Maddie, a rare creature known as a chimera. According to Myr, it was Moose Clan tradition to gift a weapon of some sort to the groom-to-be, so we'd opted to give the ox-like summoner an essence crystal instead. I hadn't seen the creature before now, and my jaw dropped as I took in the awesome sight. Chimeras were a grade B monster and a cousin to the Griffin, another monster Braden had in his possession. The incredibly rare beast shared the traits of a lion, a dragon, and a goat, and no matter the variant, they were always inexplicably female. She had two heads, one that resembled a fearsome lioness, and another that looked like a goat. A pair of enormous wings rose from her back, and they were purely dragon-like in appearance. Her body was sleek but muscular, feline except for the hooves on her back feet and the dragon's tails on her front feet. Her fur and scales were as white as snow, and her glowing eyes were a deep dark blue. Wow, I breathed. The chimera let out a resounding roar that rivaled the mist wolves' growls and sprang into action with no hesitation. She plowed right into a pair of mist wolves, and as the creatures tumbled and pounced, they became a tangle of limbs and snapping jaws. Freya and Vala shifted into their hawk forms and took off into the sky. I couldn't keep my eyes away from the pack for too long, but I managed to watch just in time as Freya picked up a small wolf with her enormous talons, pumped her wings, and then slammed it back to the ground before it could even think to make another move. I referred to this technique as the body bomb, and I was impressed the princess had been ballsy enough to use the maneuver against an Arkans monster. Freya was so much braver than I gave her credit for. When I knew my hawk wife had things under control, I scanned the forest for the rest of my teammates. Nia used earth magic to trap the wolves in an elemental-crafted ditch, and once the creatures were locked away, Gawain smothered them with a blanket of fire magic. However, much to the elementalists' dismay, the mist wolves were able to float up and escape from the ditch with little difficulty. The Arkans had been right when they warned me about the mist wolves. They were impossibly fast and lithe, and their translucent quality somehow allowed them to slip through physical barriers if they concentrated. I tried to decipher how Freya was able to lift them without a problem, and then I realized she was only going after the smallest of the pack. She was purposefully seeking out the weaklings to attack, rather than the older, wiser members of the pack. It was smart, and I had to commend her for her wise thinking. Murr had shapeshifted into his moose form, and the shapeshifter bellowed as he butted heads with one of the wolves. His large antlers made it difficult for the pale wolf to get his head, and despite the snarling and spitting, the creature was unable to take a bite out of Murr's large skull. Unfortunately, while he was busy trying to fend off one wolf, another lunged at his side and lunged at him with its razor-like teeth. "Murr!" I cried out as blood streamed out of my friend. Suddenly, I heard a raptor's cry, and then I saw a flash of red-brown fly right at the wolf. It was Vala, and her talons tore right into the mist wolf as she screeched in fury. Murr was able to step away, and when he did, he called back out to me.
"I'm okay, Griff! I promise! Keep doing what you must to defeat these creatures! The wound is not deep!"
Vala's cries filled the battlefield, and my heart thudded in my chest as I watched the young hawk shifter swipe at the wolves. I debated running over to help Murr, but then I heard another familiar screech that made a chill run down my spine. A blur of golden brown appeared as my hawk wife joined her sister. The pair of raptors dive-bombed, slashed, and attacked the wolves with impressive force, and I was momentarily frozen in awe. Then I remembered Murr's injury, and I snapped back to attention.
"Get somewhere safer in the woods! I'll come help with your wounds as soon as I can!"
I called out to Murr.
"Will you be okay?"
"I'm fine!"
Murr replied.
"Go do what you must!"
Without another word, Moose retreated back into the woods, and once I was sure he was hidden away, I turned back to the battle. My Maripor was putting up a decent fight, but I could tell it was going to need some kind of backup, so I reached into my bandolier and summoned a few more monsters to assist the canine feline creature.
"Oh, fuck!"
Dio exclaimed as he manifested in the forest, and the tawny saber-toothed cat let out a low roar as one of the mist wolves began to sneak in his direction.
"Fuck these guys!"
My familiar wound his enormous head back, and when he swung forward, his curved fangs slammed right into the wolf. The iridescent monster was flung back, but managed to scramble to its feet fast enough to attempt the maneuver again.
"Dio, do you have this under control?"
I asked as I scanned the field. There was so much motion and magic flying everywhere that my eyes had trouble keeping up with it all, and I needed to focus on finding a single wolf to capture, while the others were occupied by the other mages and monsters.
"I've got this!"
Dio proclaimed as he headbutted one of the wolves.
"Do what you need to do, boss!"
I gave my familiar a single nod and darted around the forest to find my target. Finally, I spied a wolf who was unoccupied. I'd found my prize. The she-wolf snarled at me with bared fangs, and a chill ran through my spine as the low grumble from her chest reached my ears. Her shining tail whipped behind her, and I knew the motion was meant as a warning, but I wasn't afraid.
"You're mine."
I reached into my bandolier and retrieved the empty essence crystal I'd made sure to pack beforehand. I had no idea if this was going to work, but I had to attempt anyway. I took a deep breath, clenched the gem in my hand, and pushed a bit of my mana into the empty crystal. I focused on the visual image of my magic infusing with the gem, and after a moment and a brief tug, I knew I had enough to make this endeavor possible. The she-wolf crouched back on her long, powerful legs, and I steadied myself. Even though there was a flurry of excitement beyond us, I felt as if time had stopped, and only the single Mistwolf and I existed in this moment. I was ready. I'd been waiting for years to end this war, and once I captured this creature, I would be one step closer to capturing Huna and Keela. The world would be rid of the Arkans, and I could finally have the normal life I was so desperately craving for. I unsheathed my Rhine dagger just as the monster lunged itself at me, and before I fell to the ground, I slashed a long, thin cut into the creature's side. Silver liquid, similar to the color of its eyes, streamed out of the sight, and the Mistwolf let out a surprised cry before it fell down beside me. I reacted as fast as I could as I plunged the empty essence crystal right into the wound I'd created and focused my magic. The Mistwolf bucked and snarled beneath my touch, but I continued on anyway and concentrated on the mental image of the monster being absorbed by the gem. Suddenly, my arms fell slack, and the Mistwolf began to disappear before my eyes. There was another brief tug at my mana, but I fought through the uncomfortable feeling and focused my energy on capturing the monster. Finally, the essence crystal shifted in my hands until it took on a rounded shape and a milky white appearance. I held it aloft and discovered that much like an opal, it had a rainbow shine about it. The field suddenly fell silent, and the entire pack halted their attacks. I suddenly felt several pairs of eyes on me, and when I looked back down at the essence crystal, my blood rushed to my head. By the Maker, I'd successfully captured a Mistwolf!